Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Miracle Manifesting Mondays. Today, our show is dedicated to moms, and we are going to be discussing, I'll be giving you tips, suggestions, ideas of how to be an enlightened mom. So, let us start with our breathing attunement. Taking a nice, slow, easy breath into your heart. Feel your heart expand with love and release. Let go. Good. Taking a nice, deep, easy, relaxed breath from the top of your head down through your body, and exhale out of your feet. And now, breathe in from the bottoms of your feet, up through your body, and out of the top of your head. And now, breathe in love, light, energy, abundance, patience, strength, ability, laughter, blessings. Let that fill you up, and exhale and release. And now breathe in the living light of spirit. Know that's what you are. Feel that within you. Imagine it, intuit it, allow it, and gently exhale. Good. Now continue breathing at your own pace in a relaxed, easy, gentle manner and listen to our affirmation for today. An affirmation is an intention, a prayer. It's setting out your intention, your affirmation, merging, blending, aligning with it physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, allowing it to manifest. And our affirmation today is, I am a living being of the Creator. I am a living being of the Creator. I am made of light and love. Once again, I am a living being of the Creator, made by Creator, made of light and love. One more time. I am a living being made by the Creator, part of creation, an aspect of the Creator, by whatever name you like to use, made of light and love. Good. Know that everyone is. Now, not everyone acts like it, because some people have forgotten. So let us begin with tips, suggestions, ideas to help anyone be an enlightened mom. Number one, always remember that you are exactly what our affirmation said. You are a living light being of the Creator. This is for everyone. Whatever pathway you're on, whatever religion you may follow, whether you're an agnostic, it doesn't matter. This is a reality, and in any choices, especially whether choosing to become a mom or you already are a mom, every day have some kind of practice that reconnects you so you feel it. Not like you get disconnected, but the ego can get in the way and issues of being in the third dimensional earth can get in the way whereby a person can forget that that's who she is or he. or not even have ever really had the internal awareness that that's what we are. And it isn't simply words one reads on a page of any particular book or because somebody told you. It's an experience to have yourself. So every single day, do some form of prayer, some form of meditation. Do something physical that helps you connect, whether it's a walk early in the morning or at twilight, where the energies in the early morning, like the earth is just starting to wake up, you can get more in tune with the earth energy rather than the human energy. And even if you're in a big rambunctious city like New York, if you get up early and you go to certain areas of the city, if at all possible, where there are trees, that's where you will feel it the most. Because you do need to feel the earth and the sky around you. So first and foremost, make all your choices, all your decisions that you get through your connection with spirit, source, God, goddess, whatever you call, Allah, the great spirit, Aludamare, Yahweh, Jah, whatever your way is, Buddha, however you say it. Because if you come from ego, that can start problems. So that's number one. Now, if you're not yet a mom, the first thing is preparing yourself. And that includes such things as loving yourself. If a woman does not love herself, it's going to get in the way of her being a good mom. It is better to love yourself and have a child because you love yourself, and out of that love, you and your partner choose consciously to have a child. If you look to have a child because you think that's how you're going to get love, it's backwards. I'm not saying the child won't love you. The child will love you. But if you don't know how to love yourself and give love to that child, that's already creating a challenge. And believe me, being a mom will have challenge enough. And I'm a devoted mom. I love being a mom. So it has nothing to do with if you love being a mom, there will be challenges. It's best if you have a partner. If you don't have a partner, have a support system. Have what I like to call a support circle. And if you're planning to have a child, again, do this because you too have had a discussion, several have talked about having a child, have chosen to have a child, have talked about some of your belief systems, about how you want to raise that child, what's important to you, how many children you would like to have. And these days, less is more. We're at a time when the earth is going through its changes because of things we humans have done, where there is a vast, huge population on the planet. We are overpopulated. So less is better, which doesn't mean there have to be a particular number, but bear this in mind. And these days, children need a particular kind of attention that's very much different than what was needed years ago. And there are many different kinds of opportunities, both for wonderful things and for very challenging things with kids. And these days also, women are in a very different position than they were years ago. It's very important for a woman to be a full, well-rounded, fully expressed, creative, intelligent part of society, rather than just having the old-fashioned role of sitting in the home, and that's what she does. which, by the way, at a certain point, I believe it was in the 1950s, that women were getting so upset about that, that's what gave rise to the women's movement in the United States, and women were becoming alcoholics, by the way, quietly drinking themselves, because it was simply not enough. They just didn't have the rights. Now, in the United States, where women are still moving forward with their rights, including the equal pay for equal work, which is legal and passed, now it's making it happen. And in other parts of the planet, where women do not yet all have their rights, so it's very important to exercise these. So prepare yourself. Also, have some money. To have a child without any money, with no bank, is a challenge indeed. No matter where you live, no matter what your culture is, no matter what your background, you are going to need money. A different amount in different countries and different lifestyles, yes. Does one have to be a billionaire, millionaire? No. I mean, if you are, good, but that's not required. But to go in without any money, no bank, no way to get finances, bad idea. Now, this isn't to say if you find yourself in that position to give up. No, I am simply giving you ways to help you be an enlightened mom right from the start. Have a place, a space, an area set aside that will be just for the baby. Don't go, oh my heavens, where are we going to put that child? Have something set aside. It's true when they're young, they don't need that big a space, but have something that is that child's area. And kids, you need equipment. You're going to need a place for that baby to sleep, whether it's a crib or something else, some kind of thing to put the child in when you need to walk around the house so you know the baby is okay, not when they're an infant because they don't move, that, you know, but they will grow. And things change. So you are going to need some kind of equipment no matter where you live or who you are. Desire this child with all your heart and soul. Really, you and your partner. It's very important that you really desire and are ready to love with your whole being another person. Within yourself, make sure you have made peace with your own mom. If you still have raging issues within yourself about your own mother or whoever was the person that was in the mother role, whether you wanted to or not, that confusion or incompletion will filter through you and pass into your child through you. We are all energy. We are energy beings, even though it looks like we are in only physical form. Even quantum physics will say it's all energy, energy and intention. And be a loving person, because you are going to have to give love and support to this new being beyond belief. And this also is a soul from the Creator. So you have to be willing to really optimize whoever this soul is rather than who you want the soul to be, because it's going to be you who is the baby's very first caretaker, this guru. Actually, the baby's going to teach you as much as you teach the baby, and the baby will teach you about yourself, by the way. And in the relationship, when I said have a partner, be in a loving relationship, a loving, supportive relationship that has had some amount of time in it, so the two of you know you have some chance to really stay together for some period of time, so that the two of you can help bring this child forth. And then calling forth a soul. You can literally consciously create. And it's grace if you get that, the kind of being you would like to be born to you. You can ask the Creator, Source, for the qualities you prefer. Make sure including in that is a person who has energy that's harmonious within their own self, harmonious with you, harmonious with your partner, and harmonious and able to make a contribution to the world and be a contribution to themselves. Prepare your own self to be the portal through which this soul arrives. That's on every level. Grow yourself. Be involved in your own evolution and transformation. Eat healthfully. And that means getting rid of white flour and white sugar products, which are like an epidemic in this country. Do your best to eat things that are organic. Rinse them off in a magic Kangen 11.5 strong alkaline water to pull out any pesticides. Also drinking that Chikangan water, because that will help you be incredibly helpful throughout your life. And stay away from genetically engineered foods, also called genetically modified foods, GMO or GE foods. And do your best to find out. It's not yet passed in the United States and all this, in the states that these foods be labeled. So get very knowledgeable about this. These foods are toxic and are causing terrible things used over time in people. Make sure you're eating stuff that is not shot through with hormones. It's making very negative changes in human beings, so really be careful about the food that you yourself are eating, as well as what you're going to give your baby, well, not the baby you'll nurse, but your child. Exercise properly throughout your pregnancy and before your pregnancy. And do everything as naturally as possible. Make sure you're in childbirth classes as well as breathing classes. Be well aware that your energy, your strength physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually are part of what's going to go into this child. And if by chance you have PCOS, check with your health practitioner, because there are times this whole PCOS situation can be alleviated by a person reducing some of their weight, because usually it happens, not always, but frequently, in women that are carrying more weight than is good for them. So allow yourself to release excess poundage. And again, drink Kangen water. If by any chance you have any addictions, food addictions, alcohol, drugs, other behavioral addictions, really you're going to want to get rid of them, release them, clear them, because those addictions will show up in the child, especially if they're substance. You don't want to have a child with alcohol, let's see how I'm saying, fetal alcohol condition, or that's addicted to anything. And to be a good mother, this is a paramount step. This is vital. Clean your house and your clothing and yourself with as organic products as possible, or again, if you're using Kangen water, the 11.5 pH alkaline water cleans, and the 2.5 strong acidic water is a bactericide. It's an antiseptic. It gets rid of all of that. So you don't even need to use any other kind of cleanser, even in laundry. Be aware that your lifestyle, your priorities, your interests, are going to change once you become a mom. So be aware that you're in through a real shift in consciousness, in lifestyle, in priorities, and open up to the miracle and love in a way that you've never felt before, because you are going to love, love, love this child. Love. Moms fall in love with their baby. So do dads. But right now I'm talking about this. If you find difficulty in getting pregnant and you have to use IVF, be patient, patient, patient. And do not have the doctor implant more than maybe 4 eggs at the most, because if they all take, you will be put in a position, be aware of this, that either you're going to birth that amount of babies or you will have those embryos frozen. Just know that. So just consider that and discuss this with your partner so you come up with what it is you want. And it's a very expensive procedure. In the United States, it could be easily $31,000 or more. So you might have implanted more embryos than that, but if they all start growing, you're going to have to make a choice about what you want to do. So be very, very careful about that, because IVF, they will be embryos, so be aware of that. Make sure also that your partner, your male partner, is also healthy, because the baby gets DNA for both of you. So you want your partner to also be eating healthily, be a non-smoker, non-alcohol, non-drugs, all of that. Anyone who thinks it only comes from the mom is very, 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 very short-sighted. It comes from the two of you. So that's important. And make sure he even energetically has made peace with his mom and dad. And you too, so that you can go in with your energies as clean as possible. It doesn't mean you have to wait till everything is perfect. I'm talking about making peace within yourself about stuff that's happened in the past, so that you have a clear energy and can welcome your child without, without that. So it's loving. Also, if by chance you do not want to have a child and someone is pressuring you because they think it's what you're quote-unquote supposed to do, do not have a child. Do not get pregnant. Not everyone is meant to be a mom or a dad. I mean, it is wonderful. Some of us, it is part of our calling on the earth, part of. For others, it is not. So be very at peace with that. It's totally okay. You can always play with kids, volunteer. There's much that you can do. So really, also, follow your spiritual guidance. Some people will have more than 2 children. Some will have less. Follow your internal spiritual guidance rather than your ego. And it's wonderful. Being pregnant for some people is like one of the high points of their life. And because babies are beyond cute, I mean, babies are just so cute. And they're wonderful, and they shine with energy and light. So some people almost have an addiction to making babies. Watch that. And some people, yes, are meant to have more kids, some less. That doesn't mean that you let your ego run rampant and decide that you are the one that's meant to have another and another and another. The other thing is, if you really choose to be an enlightened mom, only make as many kids as you yourself can take care of. Because even though you may be in a fabulous, wonderful, delightful, blessed relationship, one does not always know what the future is going to bring. And this isn't a fear thing. This is something to really meditate, tune in, pray, speak with your partner about. Because in addition to being a mom, you're still also a wife or a mate or whatever your situation may be, or a life partner with a woman, and you need to have energy, time, and a place to allow all those aspects of your being to flourish. Otherwise, you will be less than who you can be, which makes you less than a good mom. Also, there are some children being born that we call indigo kids. Some are called crystal or crystalline kids. These are very special. Some are calling kids coming in highly psychic, that are of different energy than other kids. Sometimes they want to come in little groups. And it doesn't mean if you have one of those, you're a better person than someone who doesn't. It doesn't mean if somebody has a child that comes in, say, as autistic, or that comes in as Down syndrome or anything else, that somebody is a better or a worse parent. No, not at all. There are different lessons, different choices that we as beings made in what I like to call the in-between before we came into Earth, and our agreements with ourselves and Source as to what we were going to learn, what we were going to give. So there are many different ways of manifesting on the Earth, and each one has its own very, very, very special aspect. Now, in terms of the birth itself, have it as natural as possible and prepare during your pregnancy. Go to childbirth classes. I recommend Bradley breathing. It's like deep yogic breathing, very relaxing. I recommend a water birth. They're fabulous. Have either a doula or midwives. I know a lot of people like to have an OBGYN birth the baby. I do recommend, and definitely be getting prenatal care. I mean, definitely, and be taking holistic vitamins. I find the best ones are made of pure organic food, obviously non-GMO, and they are the strongest, the most healthful, and the most real, and the most authentic, and make sure you're taking some. Practice your breathing. Practice with your partner, like what you're going to do, if you're going to want to have photographs, if you're going to want to have a video, whatever it is, have everybody on point, ready, so everybody knows, okay? Like, don't look to make arrangements last minute, because when the baby comes, it's going to be last minute anyway, because they don't let you know a week in advance, I'm coming. Sometimes, so it's not like it's exactly clockwork. The baby picks the time, not you. A really, really qualified midwife will know how to turn the baby while the baby is inside. Some medical doctors have gotten so used to using machines that some of them don't know how to do some of the things that a well-qualified midwife can do. So really look around and choose your birthing team wisely. And whether you're with a partner or not, definitely have a support partner. Do not do this alone. Have that person go to classes with you, read books, read the mother's manual, A Spiritual and Practical Guide to Child Rearing and Motherhood by myself, Audrey Arby. The other thing you're going to want to know is, as much as possible, refrain from having a C-section. Only if it is required that you have them. Not for someone's convenience, or not because you're afraid of giving birth, but because it's necessary for the child's life or your own life. Other than that, do not have it. I've spoken with women that have had C-sections that they didn't need, that the doctor just did, and they all felt, everyone I spoke with in this case felt cheated that they missed the experience of birthing. And I had an emergency section because the placenta was separating, and so the baby had to get out really fast. And I was thrilled that my baby came out healthy, everything perfect. But I missed the experience. I had a very different experience, which I'm not going to get into now. And it was astounding, but it wasn't, I missed the actual birthing of my own child because I had to take anesthetic to get that emergency C-section. And if you don't know, placenta abruption means the placenta is coming out. And if the placenta comes out and the baby is not out, the baby can be born dead. So I was in an emergency situation. But if you are not, and I was very grateful, beyond grateful to the doctor, but if you are not, do not get a cesarean section. And definitely do not give birth to your baby just laying flat with your legs up, if at all possible. The baby needs to come in a downward position, okay? You're pushing some of the baby out with as you birth your child. So make sure if you're on a bed, there's a tilt or you've got some pillows on you. And again, as I said, the best at this point that I know of is a water birth. And birth is a natural process. Women have been doing it for eons since we have been on this earth. And the body does know what to do, and we do need help. So also be practicing Kegels, which is the tightening and loosening of the vaginal sphincter muscle, so that you'll be more readily able to let your body do what it needs to do. And the vagina will open, okay? You don't have to be concerned as it open. It does, and the baby does come out. And again, as I said, a very experienced midwife will also know how to help position the baby while the baby's in there and not wait till the last moment. You may also wish to note the exact time of birth when that baby takes the first breath, because if you are going to ever want to do astrological charts or any other kind of work with the child, you're going to need to know that exact time of birth. That's when the child's energy merges with the earth energy. It's very important to get that time as exact as possible. I don't believe anyone smacks the baby anymore because you don't need to, or turn it upside down. Just rub the baby's back and it'll start to breathe. Hold your child. Hold your child. Put that baby by your breast and hold that child. If you choose, you can cut the cord or have your partner cut the cord. Let it stop pulsating, obviously. Some people then, most times, have the umbilicus tied in a knot. Others don't and let it fall off naturally. There are new thoughts on this. So that's even something you and your partner can discuss in advance what you want to do. Then there's the choice of what to do with the afterbirth, also called the placenta. Some people save it. Some people bury it. I have even heard of some people eating it. This isn't my way. I'm vegetarian. But really, at the very least, take a look at it. The vernix, which is like some material when the baby comes, is first birth. Some people rub it into the skin of the baby, which is good for their skin, so I do recommend that. Others have the baby cleaned up, and then they do the measurements, and doctors will put drops in their eyes. I don't particularly care for that, I have to tell you. It's part of a medical procedure done in many places, so learn about that and make your own choices. And then, no matter what your proclivity is, nurse for at least the first 3 days. Very important that the baby get the colostrum that comes out in those first days of nursing, because that's going to give the baby antibodies and strengthen the baby for the baby's entire life. And yes, I do recommend breastfeeding. And I recommend breastfeeding for a minimum of 6 months, because it's going to strengthen the baby. And make sure you are eating healthily. Make sure, and a lot of green vegetables. And I know there are some people who feel this extended breastfeeding for 2 years, 3 years. I have to say, it isn't something I particularly recommend. I tend to feel that once the child has teeth, the child is ready to actually eat food, and that's what the child should eat, which we're not going to get into in this sentence, which foods to start with. So, but a good 6 months is good, and make sure you are pumping your breast milk so that you can refrigerate and freeze it, label them so you know which one came out when, so you can use the older ones first when you're not there and your partner does, feeds the baby, or you're at work or wherever you may be. Caring of your infant. Hold your baby a lot. Make sure anyone that comes near your baby is clean. I know there were some people who like to let the baby cry themselves to sleep, thinking it's going to strengthen the baby. I have to tell you, I'm not one of them. You can let the baby whimper a little bit. That's fine. But if your baby is really crying, you pick that child up and you hold that child, sing to the child. In fact, while you're pregnant, you can have a song you sing all the time. Pick something you love that has a very beautiful melody and a very nice rhythm. The song I sang when I was pregnant, and I would tell my daughter inside, this was for her, it was Amazing Grace. And I loved it by Hubert Laws, that extended jazz version. And then once your baby is born, that particular song frequently can be a calming influence on the child. So pick something that's fabulous. This isn't a dance tune, that's a different kind of music. This is something lovely that you adore, that you have a special feeling for, that has a lovely rhythm. Make sure you continue to eat healthfully, and that you and your partner, as much as possible, are sharing in the caretaking of this child, so that you're both as involved. True, frequently it's the woman, mama, who's involved more, and even if she's a working person, frequently you can get several months maternity leave, so you can fully bond. You are going to want to nest. You are going to want to stay there no matter how much you love the work you do. The whole maternal vibration and energy will be there. If you have other children, have prepared them in advance that another baby is coming. Let them participate as much as possible with this child. Let them have held your stomach. All of these things. So you're creating a family. Now, we have 20 minutes. I have a lot of material. Okay, discipline and behavior. No kidding. That whole concept of spare the rod and spoil the child, some people have taken to mean you can beat and hit your kid. No, do not. Even when your child is small, less than a year, talk to this child. Have time out. Get your kid away from behavior that is inappropriate. Hitting your kid? Ineffective. Have parameters for the child. be loving yet firm. Definitely keep yourself centered. If you find you're losing your temper a lot and you can't handle what's going on, get help. Yeah, sometimes you will. Sometimes any person can. You're not going to be always in the ohm state. If you are, let me know. Okay? But nonetheless, have a different way of disciplining that has nothing to do with hitting or smacking or whatever words you use. That teaches war rather than peace. And if that's how you were brought up, or if that's what you see, or that's what you think your culture does, or if you think you're going to have someone that's spoiled, then you need to learn more techniques to discipline than what I'm going to give in this particular presentation to you. But yes, there are other techniques. Now, as your child grows, there are things that are going to come up that you are going to have to deal with. So let's just jump to a few that some people find challenging, such as sex. Be prepared to have conversations with your child about sex, even when your child is in grade school. Now, this may horrify some of you, and some of you may go, yes, of course, you're going to need to. And discuss up to what the child's ability to understand is, and be alert to what's going on with your child in the school, in daycare, in after-school care, and whatever. Make sure you know these people and that they are trustworthy. Make sure you find some kind of way, even to speak with a pre-kindergarten child about good touch and bad touch, and doing it in a way that is supportive rather than scary to a child. Why do I say this? Because we have people on this earth that have sickness and they do inappropriate sexual things. And you don't always know where they're going to come from. Some of them are even in what person's own family. So, yes, these kinds of things have to be dealt with. If you don't know how, find someone you trust who does. Also, you know, when I was saying eating foods that are non-GMO and non-genetically engineered, also that doesn't have hormones in them, because what's happening is people that are eating a lot of foods with hormones, especially in meat, it's bringing on puberty in kids very, very young. This is inappropriate and it's very unhealthy. The kid is so not ready emotionally or in any other way. Monitor the TV watching of your child. And these days with computers and iPads, and mobile phones and smartphones and all the things that are going to be coming, there can be inappropriate showing of sexual matter to kids that are too young to see some of this stuff. And even if you think they don't understand, they don't understand, there's an effect on people. And kids know more. They may not know what they're looking at, but it will have a visceral effect on kids and get them, it can get them wanting something before they're ready to even want it. Know who the kids are that your child plays with. Know who's in the preschool child care facility. Know, again, the adults and child care facilitators. Check the internet to find if there are any sexual predators in your area and let other parents know about it and find a way to avoid these people. Be willing to discuss everything and anything with your child and create a level of communication with your child whereby your child knows he or she can come to you with anything. And if they tell you stuff that horrifies you, you need to take a minute and go in the bathroom and run the water and stick a towel in your mouth and scream, do it, breathe, splash your face, and then come out again and talk to your kid, because, yes, there are some kids in grade school having sex. Do I think that's a good idea? No, not even remotely. So you need to be able to discuss everything and anything with your child, and teaching your child to respect herself or himself, and letting them know that this is more than a physical activity, it's an emotional activity. And I know some people talk about, well, sex and love are different. Sex and love are different. But if sex is done without any love, even though for a person who's ready it can be pleasurable, it is still going to affect someone emotionally. It isn't something just like putting on your shoes. It's very different than that. And it certainly affects somebody energetically. If your kid is having temper tantrums, sometimes for a bit, let them scream it out. And then discuss it afterwards and let them know that's not a way to behave. In every way, be as fair with your child as possible. If you make a mistake, apologize to your kid. This isn't an ego thing, and don't make it a power trip. Clearly, you're the adult and they're the child. Be willing to acknowledge when you are wrong or inappropriate. Never assume that your child is going to learn something from another person. Like the parent who is afraid to discuss sexuality and all about that, and the emotionality involved and the responsibility involved, and the fact that at a certain point in time one's body is going to want this. And if they don't know how to discuss it and they think, well, my kid will learn from someone, don't do that. Either you learn how to do it, get booklets, get something, or you find someone you trust and discuss with them how that's going to be discussed. Let's talk about traumas. If your child goes through a trauma, and a trauma can be described as any kind of unexpected situation that occurs that disrupts their life, such as separation, divorce, death, sexual touching, hitting, abuse, bullying. Be open to discuss any of this stuff with your child, and if necessary, and it usually is, get outside help. Okay, let's talk about freedom and responsibility. Kids will absolutely push the boundaries. You can count on it. They are just going to do this. They're here to learn, and from early on, they are not just going to sit in a little spot and that's it. That's not what's going to happen. If that's what you think, get over it, okay? So have known boundaries and be willing for them to change, because they're going to change. As your child grows and develops, the boundaries change and develop. Baby-proof and then toddler-proof your house. Take everything off the counters and surfaces. Lock all your cabinets so the kid cannot open them, and they are smart. Keep all your outlets plugged in. Keep gates by stairs and even in certain in rooms, so you can have an enclosed area wherever you are with the child so they're not running loose. You can have a playpen, or you can have one of these equipments where you put the baby in and it's like in a little seat and it can turn around and the baby has something to play with and they can't get out. And they love it, so you could actually walk around and take care of other things. Having a baby monitor in the baby's room is a good idea, so you know if anything ever happens. Generally, put the baby to sleep on its back rather than its front. Even to a toddler, explain expectations that you have for that child and give the child room and ability to speak. Keep all electronics out of the baby's or toddler's reach, because they will play with them. They will take your cell phone, they will take your iPad, they will take the remote, they will do all of this. They will fiddle with it, they will throw it. So make sure you know how to handle this and tell them yes or no. And as they grow and develop, you can let them have, they're now toys. There are baby computers. I mean, they have all this. So you can get this to your child. Let's talk about socialization. Your kid needs to socialize. As much as you love your baby and your family, that child is going to need to socialize. So know who your kid's friends are, as we said before. If you're a city dweller, know what's happening in your area, know what's going on the street. If you're in a gang area, give your kids, actually in any area, give your child martial arts training. And this is good for anyone, anywhere, at any time, so your child knows how to take care of herself or himself. And also, in really good martial arts training, they teach internal discipline, they teach respect, they teach how to be peaceful, and when someone really knows how to handle themselves, they can be very peaceful. Teach about drugs, fighting, sex, everything. Give your child life goals. Let your child know that she or he is a talented person, and look for the gifts and the talents that your child has, and then build on them. If your kid shows an interest in taking things apart and putting them together again, this could be an inventor, this could be mechanical ability. So find stuff that they can take apart, that you don't care if it's ruined and that won't hurt them, and let them fiddle around and play with this. Give your child classes to develop other aspects of their being that have nothing to do with you. Not too many and not too few. So the kid has plenty of quote-unquote free time and opportunity to daydream, read to your baby, read to your child, read all the time. There are certain TV shows that are excellent, so check them out and let the baby watch. Do not have the TV on 24/7. If you even get an idea that your kid is experimenting with sex, be prepared to discuss this. If your child is of age, make sure you get contraceptive devices. And there's a whole thing now about having over-the-counter birth control pills, and I think we should, by the way. I support that. And give something that's foolproof. Make yourself very important to your child. Really develop that so that your child feels a strong connection with you. You can be, see, it's not good to be too permissive, nor to be too strict. You have to kind of find the centered way, which is different for everyone. And it's rather, depending on what it is, it's important to be strict, very strict about certain things, and a little more flexible about others. Like, you don't let a kid go out in the city street or any street and run around crossing the streets with traffic coming. You just don't do that. Have 10 yeses for every no that you give your child. And so your kid is going to experiment. You have to know this. So allow that and keep learning and learning and learning so your kid can come to you with anything. Okay, let me see where we are. Let's talk a little, I have just a few more minutes, about bullying. Bullying, teasing, mocking. Be aware of how your child behaves with everyone and how everyone behaves with them. Find out if your child is in class, in school, in after school, in preschool. Find out from the teachers and class aides how your child behaves, how he or she speaks, what they do. Know how your child is in environments where you're not present. Converse with your child about whatever is going on. And always reward your child for telling the truth. In terms of lying or stealing, most kids are going to grab anything they can get their hands on. and they won't think anything of it. So you're going to have to teach about sharing, mind yours, ours, and do it lovingly, loving, lovingly. Never use words like to a kid, you're a liar or you're a thief. Do not use words like that to your child. Always let your child know he or she is very lovely and certain behaviors are inappropriate. And kids will want to play with one another's toys and things. It's a given. So that's when this whole me, yours sharing comes into play. Create punishments for infractions that the child knows are going to happen and see what works. If you do timeouts, it's like 1 minute for every year of your child's age. So it's not like you send a kid into a room for an hour that's only 2 years old. You don't do that. And you talk with the child about why they're having a timeout and what your expectation is, and for them to think about it when they come out of timeout. And timeout could just be a particular area in a room that you actually see they're in timeout, by the way. And then to have them talk to you afterwards about why they were in timeout. And even when they're very little, they won't be able to comprehend as much as when they're older, but they will comprehend. Teach your child integrity, authenticity, honor, truth, self-respect, and you do that by handling and being that yourself. That is the biggest teacher going. How you live, what you say, what you do. And more than anything, let your child know you love him or her. And that there is forgiveness and grace. And make sure that your child knows that when they're learning something, you forgive them for what they did. And forgiveness literally means releasing any of the negative impact on the self about something that was done by the self or other. It isn't about saying to someone that did something awful, oh, good, do it again, I forget. No. So really allow that. Be flexible. Do not require perfection. You're not going to get it. Nobody has. We are perfect within as the light beings we are on the third dimensional. We are going through this human experience, and each and every one of us here, each and every single one of us, for whatever reason we came to Earth, is also on a learning journey. Allow somebody to make true restitution for anything that they may have done. And then let them know how proud of them you are when they have done this, if they did something inappropriate, so they're not walking around with guilt. You don't want that. Make sure your child knows that she or he is unique and that every other human being on this earth is unique. Now, this has been an hour of ideas, tips, insights to help you be an enlightened mom. There are many more. If you truly wish to be an enlightened mom, go to themothersmanual.com and get yourself the Mother's Manual, a spiritual and practical guide to child-rearing and motherhood, by Audrey Susan Arby. Now, bless yourself. Bless yourself. Take time for yourself. Honor yourself. Love yourself. Thank you for being. Thank you for living on this earth and being an enlightened mom with evolved kids. May you know love, blessings, abundance, prosperity, wellness, creativity, and enlightenment and transformation. May you evolve and grow and shine like the star you are. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.